here on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Beis, Amar Rava, and we're about to begin Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Let's just review. The Mishnah had presented a distinction between two cases. There was a Reisha and a Seifa. So we'll just quickly review the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav. If he says is kachi, then there are separate Maisa Kiddushins, and there's got to be a Shav Prut in one of the Tamarim. If, on the other hand, he says is kachi once, and then he says Bezu Bezu, the Mishnah says then we could be Mitzarif all the Tamarim together, and if there's a Shav Prut in all of them together, she is Mekudeshes. And then in the Sefer, the last piece in the Mishnah, Haisal Cheles, if she was eating one by one the Tamarim, then there must be a Shava Pruta B'Achas Mehen. And here we have a Machlokas Shin Rav and Shmuel on the one hand, and Rabbi Ami on the other hand, about how to interpret this last piece of the Mishnah. We'll start with Rabbi Ami, and Bli Neder, as we go through the Sugya, we'll come back to Rav and Shmuel a bit later. Rabbi Ami is of the opinion that this last piece in the Mishnah of Haisal Cheles, Rishona Rishona, is an extension of the Seifa in the case of Bazu Ubazu. And the way Rabbi Ami interprets the Mishnah is that there's got to be a Shava Pruta in the last Tamra. Those Tamarim that she ate, they're gone already. That's already Milva. That's already given to her as a Pikadon. She consumed the Pikadon. She owes money. And even if he's mochel her for the sake of Kiddushin, that's Mechilas Milva, Eina Mekudeshes. On this interpretation of the Mishnah of Rabbi Ami, we now learn the statement of Rava. And Rava says, Lo Shanu Ella Di Amarla Bazu Ubazu Ubazu Aval Amarla Bi Elu. Rava wants to make a distinction between the case of the Mishnah, where he says to Bazu Ubazu Ubazu, and in such a case, then we need a Shava Pruta Ba'achrona, Hiskachili Bazu. He says Hiskachili once, so he's integrating all the different Tamarim, and all the different Tamarim can be integrated to form, to link up to. Mathematically combine to create a Shava Pruta, but since she ate the first Tamarim, they can no longer be combined, and therefore you have to have a Shava Pruta in the last Tamar which she didn't consume. And that's the case of Bazu Ubazu Bazu. But if Avalim Omar La, if he says to her, Haret Mekudeshes B'Elu, now the word Be'elu takes on a new significance, changing the nature of the din in the Mishnah. And after he said Be'elu, he gives her a number of Tamarim. Is Afilu Ocheles, even if she eats one after the other, Nami Mekudeshes. Why? Ki Ka'achla Midenafsha Ka'achla. That which she's eating the Kesef Kedushin. She's not being given a tamar as a pikadon, and after she eats the tamar, she owes a chov to replace the value of the tamar. No, that's not what's going on. He was gomer diburo. He said to her be'elu, and what he means to say is that all that I'm giving you is kesef kedushin. It's not that when I give you the last one, that's going to be Kesef Kiddushin, and therefore we have to link together them all until we finally get to the last one. But rather, even the first one is Bielu, is also a Kesef Kiddushin, independent of the others. And what she eats is Ka Ochla Midenafshi Ka Ochla. And therefore, as long as one of the various Tamarim are worth a Pruta, that Tamar could serve as Kesef Kedushin. Again, according to this Chiddush of Rava, when he said to Abba Elu, and then he gave the Tamarim, then each Tamar is being given to her as Kesef Kedushin. And when she eats it, she's not eating it as a pikadon, and she owes its value, but rather she's eating it as kesef kedushin, and she's allowed to do that. So again, the distinction is between the case of iskachili bazu bazu, as opposed to the case of iskachili ba'ela. If he says bazu bazu, and she ate the first tamarim, so that's not going to be valid kedushin at that point, because you know what? She hasn't even decided yet that she's going to be mekudeshes to him. I mean, we didn't get to the point of the Gemara Nesina. For example, if she would want to rescind her das, her agreement, and void this kedushin, she would be able to do so until the Gemara Nesina. But in the case of Makadsha, the Elu, then once he gives her the first pri, she eats the first pri, that would clinch the kedushin. She can no longer rescind her das. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. However, the Tosfos Rid claims that even in the case where he says bi'elu, and he gives her the first pri and she eats it, she could still rescind her das before the completion of the nesina, because bi'elu means that the nesina will be complete. Oh. So according to Tosfos Rid, We're challenged with the following question: what's the difference between bazu bazu and the case of ba'elu? After all, in both cases, it would seem that the Gemara Nesina is when he gives her the last of the fruits. So the Tosfos Rid wants to suggest that in the case of bazu bazu, the Kavanas HaMekadesh was that the Gemara Kedushin will be the last pri. With the last pri, there's a Gemara Kedushin. And therefore, Eino mitztarfin el bofen shemunochem heim adayin, they have to be there on the table, be'en intact, at the moment of the Gemara Nesina. And if she's already eaten part of them, then we don't have all the fruits intact at the time of the Gemara Nesina and Eina Mekudeshes, unless he can be Mekadesh with the last tamar, which is worth a pruta. But in the case of Ba'elu, his kavana is to combine, integrate all the peiros together and create a Gemara Kedushin Lialter. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos Rid. That means immediately the Kedushin is complete, and he's just taking his time, you know, to give her the Kesef Kedushin, but it's all part of the Kesef Kedushin. She could be miskadish with one tamura, if it would have a Shavu Pruta, and afterwards he'll give her the rest. It's like a man who says to a woman, I want to be miskadish with a full dinar, which is 100 zuz. She can be mekudeshes when she receives the first zuz, and he has to pay out, he has to shell out the remainder. So the Tosfos Rid learns that in the case of his kachili ba'elu, his kavana was to include all of them in the payment of kedushin, but the kedushin is complete immediately. And therefore, even if she ate the first tamra, which was worth a shava pruta, it's irrelevant. She's eating kesef kedushin because the gemara kedushin was immediate. Now, one thing that we have to understand is, according to Tosfos Rid, what would be if she decides to rescind her das before she gets the last tamra? That might be aloch of tnai. And then you have to discuss the question whether tonight works l'mafreya or not. That's what I would leave for the Iyun Shir. Now we go on, Tanya Kavosei de Rava. We have a Braisa, and this Braisa has a number of parts to it, one of which is going to support the Shita of Rava. The Braisa says the following: a man is giving different types of fruits to a woman for Kiddushin, and he says to us, Kachi li bi alon berimon begoz. Alon is some sort of chestnut, Rashi says. And rimon, of course, is a pomegranate. Egoz is a walnut. Then the Braisa says, oh, in an alternative case, he doesn't specify the names of the various fruits, but rather he says to Sha'amar La his kachi li bi'elu. He uses the word bi'elu. That already triggers off an association to Ravel. Is the Mishnah says the following. I'm sorry, the Brisa says the following. In Yesh Bikulan Shava Pruta is Mekudeshes. In other words, we can combine them all together. Again, he only used one lashon of his kachi. And if there's a Shava Pruta in the Sacha Kol of all these fruits, she's Mekudeshes. In Lav, Eino Mekudeshes. She's not Mekudeshes. Because if, after all, you combine the value of the Alon, the Rimon, the Egos, and nothing tallies up to a Shava Pruta, then she's not Mekudeshes. Now the Brisa has a Seifa. What's the Seifa? He says, Bazu, Ubazu, Ubazu. Instead of saying the names of the fruits, or Ba'elu, he says, Bazu, Bazu, Ubazu. And the Brisa Paskins, Im Yesh Bekulin Shava Pruta Mekudeshes, Im Laveinu Mekudeshes. It sounds like an exact repeat of the first part of the Brisa. Fine. Now the Brisa continues. He says to her, Bazu, he gives her a fruit. Nitolaso, she takes it, Yachlaso, and she consumes it. Then he gives her another fruit, Bazu, and once again, Natlaso, Vyachalaso, and she eats the second fruit, Viod Bazu, and a third one, Viod Bazu, and a fourth one. Enam Kudeshes ad, Shiehebi Achas Mehen, Shava Pruta. In this case, we don't have the ability to integrate all the fruits together to create a Shava Pruta. We need to isolate, single out one particular fruit that is worth a Shava Pruta. And this seems to parallel our Mishnah, that in a case where she eats the fruit, that fruit is no longer Kesef Kedushin, it's a Chov, and we're going to have to find another fruit, a valid candidate for Kesef Kedushin, that's got to be Shava Pruta. We don't have the ability to integrate them together as we did in the first part of the Brice. Now, what we're going to have to analyze here, and that's Rava's job here, is how does this last Seifa relate to the first part of the Mishnah? In other words, if it's a separate halach in Bazu, 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 then in such cases that he wants to integrate all these fruits together, and he says Bazu, 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 then we want to find the integration of all of them to create a Shava Pruta. The fact that, let's say, the first one that she ate was a Shava Pruta is not going to be Kedushin. It only becomes Kedushin at the time that he gives her the last Tamar, and they're all intact. But she had already consumed the first Tamar, that becomes a Chov and a Kiddush B'milva. But how does this last piece about Ochlasa relate to the first part of the Mishnah? That's what Rava, the first part of the Brisa, that's what Rava wants to analyze. And he goes back to read the Resha of this Brisa. Hi, in the first case of Iskachili Ba'alon Brimon Be'egos, Hechidami. Ilema di Omar La. If he says to her, I want to be Makadish, you, O Ba'alon, O Brimon, O Be'egos. That's impossible. Because the Brisa says, Im Yesh Bekulon Shava Pruta Mekudeshes, that we can integrate them all together in one Maisa Kedusha to create a Shava Pruta, to calculate a Shava Pruta. That's impossible. Because of Ha'o Karma, he said to Ha'o. In other words, he wants to be Mekadesh with this, or with this, or with this. So you cannot integrate them all together, and the Brisa makes no sense. And therefore, by process of elimination, V'ela, the way to interpret this Brisa has to be where he said to us, Kachi li ba'alon, uverimon, uvegos, not separately, but rather together. And if we can integrate them together to create the Shir of Shava Pruta. Oh, but if that be the case, Hainu, the Brisa is really repeating itself, because that's exactly the case that's next in the Brisa of Haret Mekudeshesli Bazu, Ubazu, Ubazu. He wants to integrate them all into one Kedushin. So why would the Brisa have to just simply repeat in the Sefer what it wrote in the Reisha, or in the Reisha what it wrote in the Sefer. Elo Lav says, Rava, what's the case of Ba'alon Berimon Ubegos in the Reisha? It's a case where he said, El Diomar La Bielu. He wanted to integrate them all into one, and he said, Bielu. And the Rice wants to tell me in the Sefer, what's the din if he said Bazu Ubazu? And basically the Bryce wants to tell me that whether he says Bazu Ubazu or he says Bielu, he wants to integrate them all, and therefore the Shavu Pruta could be the Sachakol of all of them together. Oh, so the Gemara now has a problem. Although this would seem to support Rava, that Rava holds that if he says his Kadshi Li Be'elu, then it's all one integration to Kiddushin, and as we said before, the name of the Tosfos Rid, he intends to have the Gemara Kiddushin immediately with the first fruit, and therefore even if she ate it, she's Midanafshe Ka'achla. The Gemara now has a question. Ha Midik Tani Sefer, in the Sefer it says, the Sefer means the Sefer, the Reish, it says, O Sha'amalas Kadshi Li Bielu is Michal de Reisha Lav Bielu Askina. Meaning, if Ba'alon Berimon Ubegos is Bielu, then the Bryce in the Reisha itself is repeating itself. So the Gemara answers no. The Reisha in the Bryce is talking about a case where he gives her an Alon Rimon Vegos, and he says, does Kadshi Li Bielu? The Sefer is talking about a case where he says Kachli be Elu, and he doesn't add, you know, the words Berimon Begos and Balon. Is Pirusha Komafarish? In other words, the Bryce is now clarifying the Reisha. The Sefer comes to explain the Reisha. His Kachli Balon Berimon Begos. What is the significance, or what is the scenario itself? Ketzad Kegon Diomala is Kachili Bielu, and he said Bielu. So it comes out that the Reisha of the Brisa has two different cases. Number one, he gives her an Alon Rimon Vegos, and he says it's Kachili Bielu. And the second case is where he says it's Kachili Bazu Ubazu. And what's common to both cases is that since he wants to Mekadesh with all of these fruits together, we can integrate them to form a shear of Shavu Pruta. Now we get to the Sefer of this Bryce, and here's where Rava really goes into high gear. The Katani Sefer, the Bryce, says that if he says to her, Haret Mekadesh Li Bazu, Nitolasu viachlaso, and she immediately eats the first of these fruits. Isim yesh biachas mem shava pruta mikudeshes viim lav ena mikudeshes. We have to isolate one particular fruit that she hasn't eaten yet, and we can no longer be mitzarif the various fruits. Since the fruit which she's consumed is gone, that's history. As we said before, that's mekadesh b'milva. And we have to now find a fruit that is in and of itself is worth a pruta. We can no longer add and integrate all the fruits to generate a shavu pruta, because those fruits that she's eaten are gone, are history. Now, the Braisa makes that point about notloso v'achloso with regard to the Sefer, where it says bazu ubazu, meaning the Sefer, the Reisha. V'ilu Bereisha, if we go back to the case of Be'elu, and we had two different variations of Be'elu, Loka Maflig, the Braisa doesn't make this qualification that we can only integrate them together and create the Kedusha because she hasn't eaten any of them, and this one, and the one that's left either doesn't have a Shav Pruta, and then she's not Mekadesh, does have a Shav Pruta. But in any event, the Braisa doesn't make this distinction, loka maflig, beino chelis lemanachas, whether she ate the fruits or she didn't eat the fruits before the Gemar Nesina. In other words, we can always, always, unqualified, be mitzaref all the fruits together to create a shava pruta. Ishmami no, we see kol hechad yomer bielu. It must be that this brisa maintains that principle that Rava formulated, namely that when he's makadisha bielu, is that something different? It doesn't mean that we wait until he gets to the last fruit and then we integrate them all together, but immediately there's a Gemara Kiddushin from the get-go when he gives her the first fruit, and what she's eating is she's consuming Kesef Kiddushin, and the Gemara Dibur is Chal immediately from the Haskola. Gomer's Dibur Kodem Shiskilu Lechol. Even before she began to eat, he gave her Kesef Kiddushin. And if she eats it, then that is an Asin of Kiddushin. She's eating her own Kesef Kiddushin. And if that be the case, then she is Mekudeshes. Basically, what Rava is establishing here in the case of his Kachili Bielu is that all the various Tmarim are one Kesef Kiddushin, and the fact that she eats part of it is irrelevant, because he's going to continue giving her the Kesef Kiddushin as we go along. He doesn't need to have a Gemar Kiddushin at the last fruit, such that if the first fruits are gone and consumed, they can no longer be Mitzurav. No, all the fruits are Mitzurav to the Kesef Kiddushin, because the Gemar Kiddushin was even before she began to eat. The very moment he gave her the first fruit, there was already a Gemara Kiddushin. And therefore we can integrate all the fruits into one Shavah Prut that she's Mekudeshes, even if she ate the first fruits before he gave her the last fruits. If he says Tarei Mekudeshes Bazoo Bazoo, and there's no Gemara Kiddushin, his Kavan is not to give her a Kiddushin right up front, but his kavanah was that he'll give a Kiddushin at the end, you know, besof hanasina. In fact, the case, we need to integrate all of the fruits together into one. And if she eats part of the fruits, alright, she owes him a milfa, but it's not mitzurah. So the Gemara says, Shmamina, Rav is very satisfied that this brisa will support his shita. Now what the Gemara is going to do is turn it back onto Rav and Shmuel, because up until now we've been interpreting the Mishnah like Rabbi Ami, but let's remind ourselves that Rav and Shmuel have an entirely different understanding of the Mishnah, and they understand that when the Mishnah says, quote, Hoysa Ocheles Rishona Rishona Eina Mekudeshes Ad Sheyei Be'achas Me'en Shovah Pruta, Rav and Shmuel are not talking about the requirement of a Shavah Prut in the very last fruit, but rather, this is going back to the ratio of Hiskachli B'Tamrazu, Hiskachli B'Zu. He has two separate Hiskachis, and therefore two separate Maisa Kiddushin. And what does it mean? I mean, that's obvious. But rather, Mishnah wants to tell you, you might think that even if there's no Shavah Prut in the one that she consumed, the tamar that she consumed, that flesh, she is mekudesh, is because makarva lo hanos. If you recall what we discussed yesterday, that the immediate benefit and enjoyment that she gets from the achilas tamar, that itself could substitute for a shavah pruta, kamashmalin, no. And Rabbi Ami was the one who was cholek, and he said, no, that this din of notlos of achlos, isocheles, rishon rishona, that's going on the sefer, in the case of Bazoo Ubazoo. And that's when we can be mitzarif all of them together. It's one Maisa Kiddushin, but the Kiddushin is only a complete Maisa when she gets to the last Tamra, and if she ate the first Tamarim, they're gone. Oh. So the Gemara says the following, Ha Nichol Amanti Omar Asefa Koi. According to Rabbi Ami, who understands that the case of etc. is going on the sefer, the case of Bazoo Bazoo. Umay Achiehi Biachas Men Shava Pruta, Achiehi Bachrona Shava Pruta. Because all the different Tamarim are integrated into one Maisa Kiddushin, you've got to have a Pruta Bachrona if she ate the first ones. Is Hachanami here too? in this brisa that we just learned to be even is ad sheyehei b'achrona shava pruta. It makes sense that the brisa says that if he was mekadesh with a number of different fruits together and she ate the first fruits, you're going to have a pruta b'achrona. Again, that's the bazoo part of our brisa. We're not going back to be'elu. Elo l'rav u'shmuel di'amri chavayu. They understand that a resha koi, that which it says, if she ate, then you need a pruta b'achrona. That's referring to the case of his kadshi li. It's going back to the resha. Is va'ocheles itzrich lei, and the Mishnah wanted to tell you, according to Rav and Shmuel Lechidish, that even though she ate the fruits and she therefore revealed her das, that she's got such benefit and joy for the fruits that she wants to mekadesh herself to him with the fruits, but nevertheless, the Mishnah is kamashman that she's not mekudesh because there's no shavah pruta. How are Rav and Shmuel going to understand the brisa? Hacha klolei kachashiv prati lo chashiv. The brisa is talking about a case where he was mekadisha with a number of prutos bichlolus. In other words, he didn't say his kachili. And yet the brisa says im ochla achas mihen, if she ate one of them. Right, let's go back and read the language of the brisa. The brisa says bazu im yesh bekulon shava pruta mekudeshes im laveda mekudeshes. And then the brisa says, is not loso viachloso, bazuma not los vachloso, is you have to have be achas men shava pruta. Clearly, in the context of this brisa, even though he said bazu, nevertheless, you know, if she eats part of them and they're gone, is she's ate a mekudeshes, but im yesh be achas men shava pruta, she is mekudeshes. I mean, that's something that Rav and Shmuel rejected. I mean, they didn't want to accept the possibility that in the case of bazu, and she ate part of it, that she could be mekudeshes with the last one. That svara, that principle, was not acceptable according to Rav and Shmuel. So, what are we going to do with this brisa? The brisa is pretty outspoken about the fact that im yesh b'achas men shava pruta mekudeshes, meaning, if we find isolate one fruit, she's mekudeshes. Why? Because we have the halacha of klali, meaning that since it was only one loshen is kachili, and then he said bazu, then any one of the fruits could serve as kesef kedushin, even though the rest of them are milva because she ate them. That's antithetical to Rav and Shmuel. Morantz is Hamani Rebbe he. The author of this brisa, or at least the sefer of the brisa, is Rebbe. Now, in order to understand Rebbe, as I've always said, that Shas Bavli is Bavl b'minakol, we have to go back to Masechet Zvachim. And the Mishnah there on Chav Tesam and Beis establishes that there are two categories of Machsheves Pigul. There's what's called Chutz Limkomo and Chutz Lizmano. And the machshava of chutz l'mekomo is a lot less severe than chutz l'zmano. So, for example, if the shochet of the korban has in mind to eat the kezias, to eat one kezias of this korban, chutz l'mekomo means outside of Yerushalayim, let's say in the case of kodshim kalim, or outside of the mikdash, in the case of kodshim, then that's called the machshavas pigel of chutz l'mekomo. And the korban itself is possible, but nevertheless, if someone eats the basar karbon, he's not chayv kares. The more severe and harsh case of machsheves pigel is chutz lizmano, where the shochet has in mind a kavana to eat the kezias beyond, let's say in the case of shlom, beyond 2 days and a night. That's a pigel which is so severe that if somebody eats the karbon afterwards, he's chayv kares. And there's going to be a machlokas tanoim in that Mishnah. What happens if he has both machshavas? What's the status of the ochel? He has a machshava of chutz lizmano and a machshava of chutz limkomo. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, and he says it depends what came first. if his first machshava was chutzlis mano, that's the severe pigel of chutzlis mano, which engenders the chiv karis v'yit karban. If his first machshava was chutzim komo, then it's pigel without a chiv karis. And basically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what we do is we separate his kavanos. We don't view them as some sort of a mixture. And therefore, the question, the issue of whether or not the karbon engenders a chiyuv kares will depend upon which came first. The two separate machshavas over here. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah. And they say, in any event, the karbon is possible, of course, but there's no chiyuv kares. We view it as a tarovus. Let's say a tarovus of 50-50. There's no din of bittul here. And he has a machsheves chutz limkomo here. And therefore, there's no chiyuv kares in the achilas habosa. The Gemara goes on there in the Sugyan Zvachim to have a suffix, according to Rabbi Yehudu, who says that you're not matzarif the two machshavas into one tarovus, but each machshava remains an independent machshava. Is that only in the case where he says hareini shochet al manas lechol kizayis lemachar and kizayis bachutz? He doesn't add a vav, and therefore he separates between his two machshavas, and then Rabbi Yehuda wants to judge, well, which machshava came first? Or what about the case where he adds the vav and he says ani shochet al manas lechol kizayis lemachar u kizayis bachutz? In that case, does Rabbi Yehuda admit that the extra vav creates a tarovus of his two machshavos in such a way that even if he started with a machsheves lemachar, meaning chutz lizmano, nevertheless the carbon does not engender a chiyuv kares? That was the Gemara Sofik in Rabbi Yehuda, and Rebbe comes to the conclusion in interpreting Rabbi Yehuda that even in a case where he added the vav and he said ubazu, he doesn't mean to integrate the two machshavas together. Each machshava becomes a separate machshava, and Rabbi Yehuda would still insist that it depends which machshava came first and was primary. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the extra vav does not undermine our separation and the principle of independent machshavos. And by analogy, if we take this whole discussion to Kiddushin, the same logic should apply to Kiddushin. And whether or not he says to her, Harayat Mikudeshes li bazu bazu, or in the case where he says, Harayat Mikudeshes li bazu u bazu, and he adds the vav, in each case, the intention of the Mekadesh is not to integrate all the peros together, but rather each pri is independent. Just like we said in Machshavas Pigel, each Machshav is independent. It's not an integration or a tarovah. So to hear, despite the fact that he said ubazu bazu, nevertheless each fruit is a separate independent entity. And if that be the case, we're going to begin to understand the brisa according to Rav and Shmuel, based on the Shita of Rebbe. So again, let's read it. Hamani, Rebbe, he, the author of this brisa is Rebbe. The Amar Loshna Kizayis, Kizayis Loshna Kizayis, U Kizayis, Pratahavi. Even if he says U Kizayis, adding the vav, nevertheless, it still remains Machshavos Nifrados. And therefore, in the case of Kiddushin, there's no difference between bazu, 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 or bazu, u, bazu, with the extra vav. In both cases, his kavana is not to be Makadisha now with all the peros, but with one of the various peros. And therefore, Rebbe would say that she's not Makudeshes unless there's one fruit that has a Shavapruta. If there's no one fruit that I could isolate that has in and of itself a Shavapruta, if I can only be Mitzarif them all together, is Eina Makudeshes. And again, let's go back to the language of the Braisa. The Braisa uses a language of Haisa Ocheles, that when do you need to isolate a single fruit that's worth a fruit? That's because she ate the first ones. We're going to have to say ein ze bedafka. You don't have to take that literally, Rashi says. And even if she would leave all the fruits together on the table, she hasn't touched a single one of them. We cannot integrate them all to create a shear of pruta, because the Das HaMaskadish was on one particular fruit. That's based on Rebbe's understanding, Rabbi Yehuda and Zvachim, that each one is a separate entity. So it comes out that there's a machlokes between the Tana of the Reish of this price and the Tana of the Seif in the price, because according to the Tana who writes, or let's say formulates the Reish of the Brisa, in the case where he said is kadshi li ba'elu, or the Brisa is very outspoken, bazu u bazu, he wants to integrate them all together, and if there's a shava pruta with the combination thereof, she's mukudesh. But according to the Tana of the Seifa, reflecting the sheet of Revi, then a woman is not mekudeshes unless you can isolate one particular fruit that has a shava pruta. Now we begin the sugya of makadesh b'milva. Omar Rav ha-makadesh b'milva ain't a mekudeshes. You may recall that in the first parak we already learned the sugya of makadesh b'milva. However, this sugya is a little bit different. This case, this scenario, Rashi explains, is where she still has the money in her hands, and he wants to makadish her with the money that he gave her initially as a milva, which she hasn't yet spent. Of course, when she receives the milva, she can spend the money, but she hasn't yet spent it. Now he wants to say, you know, that money that you're holding on to, that money that's be'en, that's biyodech, I would like to use it as kesef kiddushin. And in this case, perhaps logically, we would say that since the mos are be'en, biyada, he can make it, he can transform them into kesef kiddushin, and she accepts it as such. No, says Rav, eina mikudeshes. And this is the ikar din of Rav of makadish milva eina mikudeshes. You may recall that back there on Daf Vav in the sugi of makadish milva, Abai added another point that if he's makadisha with hanas mechilas milva, then she is mikudeshes. Now, what's the logic of Rav? Rav says the Gemara is predicated on a certain principle in Alva. Milve lohotza nitna means the very moment I give you these mos, they're yours. The love now basically acquires ownership on the mos, even though they're still be'en. And he can do with these mos whatever he pleases. He doesn't have to guarantee that these mos will be around, be available so that he can repay his chov. He can, for example, invest these mos in whatever business venture he thinks might be fruitful for him. And therefore, says Rav, even though, despite the fact that she's holding on to the original mos that were given to her as a milva, but nevertheless she takes them as her own, she can do with these mos whatever she pleases. And therefore, these mos are not waiting. So if she acquires ownership on the kesef halva immediately when he transfers it into her rishus, when he gives it into her hand, then now if he's mekadesh her, he's not giving her anything new. He's not taking something that's his and giving it to her for kedushin because she already owns it. It's absolutely hers. Fine. Neima Kitanoi, the Gemara thinks that this psak of Rav is really dependent upon a machlokes Tanoi. The Brisa says, Hamakadish b'milve eina mekudeshes v'yesham b'mekudeshes. Now, at this point, when it says yesh omrim mekudeshes, what we understand is that he can be mekadisha with the money that she's holding on to, which she received as kesef halva. And the Gemara says, "My lav ha'akom miflagi mar demar sova milva lotzonit nu mar sova milva lav lotzonit." In other words, the Mandiyamu says milva lotzonit nu, it means immediately with the giving of the money into her hands, the lova's hands, it now becomes the possession, the money is owned by the lova. And now, when he's makadish her, he's not giving her anything new. She, as a lova, already owns the malus, even though she haven't spent it yet. But Mar Sovar Milva Lavlot Sodnitna, which means that the law. Now Rashi has a strange sheet there, which I'm not prepared to explain. Rashi seems to assume that if Milva Lavlot Sodnitna, the Lova does not have Rishus. He says Lotzonitna Lova Rash. Six lines up from the bottom of the page, Alova Rashoy Lotzia Behot Sovieno Kaivla Mida Be Iskashite Mitsuya Bakalashiat Veno, which implies that according to the other Mandi Omar, which the Gemara now identifies with the Yesh Omrim of this Bryce Makudeshes, Milvalav Lotzon, it means that the Lova has to somehow keep the Mos available. He doesn't have rights to, you know, unlimited rights to use the Mos and spend it in any way he wants. They always have to be there for the Malva to get back. It means that there's the strings that attach the Mos back to the Malva, so that now if he's giving her something, then whatever, shall we say, Mixas Kinyan that she had before Betoras Milva now becomes a Kinyan Gomer Betoras Kiddushin, Achlota, there's a Lechalutin, and therefore he can be Makadishar. Again, the Rishonim are going to have problems with this Rashi, because where did we ever find that a Lova is not Rashoy Lahotzi Klala Samol Shekibo Min Amalva? So why did he borrow it? And this is the discussion here in the Pnei Yoshua, and he reinterprets it that he's not allowed to spend the money Levazi Samos Alagak Liknos Tmurusam Schora. This Mandiyama means that he's limited in the way that he can only use the money to buy something so that he can repay the Malva with Shava Kesef. And again, all this has to be taken under serious analysis. But be that as it may, it comes out that whether or not you can be a Kaddish woman with a Milva, if she still has the Mos, is a Machlokas Tanoim. The Gemara rejects it. The Tizbara, is that the way we want to learn this price? Amos safe. Let's look at the safe. The price it says v'shavin b'mecher shezekana, which means that if, let's say, I want to buy your karka, and yesterday I gave you a halva, I can take that kesef that I gave you yesterday as halva and now use it as kesef kinyan to buy karka. The Iyamit Milva Lotza Nitna. If you're going to tell me that Milva Lotza Nitna, so that when yesterday I gave you these Mos as a Milva, you were Kona the Mos, then how can I now use those same Mos as Kesef Kinyan for the Karka? And therefore it must be that the Brisa, and this last statement of the Brisa, which seems to be universally accepted, is assuming the principle of Milva Lav Lotza Nitna. And therefore, when I gave you these Mos yesterday, I'm the Malv and you're the Lova, somehow those Mos are still attached to me in such a way that now I can give them to you, so to speak, kind of figuratively at least, as Kesef Kiddushin. So therefore, we're going to have to assume that both Tanoim and this Brisa agree that Milva Lotzon Nitna, excuse me, that Milva Lav Lotzon Nitna. So what is the machlokes regarding kiddushin? If he's makadisha with these mos that yesterday he gave to her as alva, why should anyone say that it's not kiddushin? Amar Rav Nachman, huna chavrin, mukum le b'mili achore. Rav Nachman quotes Rav Huna that you have to reinterpret this price. It's unbelievable. The price is talking about a whole different case. You know, it says Hamakadish b'milva, but that's not really how you have to read the brisa. But rather, Achamai Askinon could go, what's the case? Omer Leskachli b'mana, v'nimtza mana chaser dinar. You may recall that we discussed this earlier in Masechta Kiddushin. If a man says, I'm being Makadish with 100 dinrim, that's a mana, and he gives her, she counts it out, and guess what? There's only 99 dinrim. So the Makadish says that last dinar is a milva, is something that I owe you. You know, you can demand it from me. So on that case, there's machlokas tanoim whether she's mekudeshes. Mar Sovar, according to one Mandi Omar, which was the Yesh Omrim. Let's go back to the Braisa. The Braisa says Yesh Omrim. No, the first day on the Braisa says Eina Makudesh. Why Eina Makudesh? The answer is Mar Sover Ksifala Milsa Lemithbe'e. In other words, she really doesn't have Smichas Das on this Kiddush. She's too embarrassed to ask him for that last dinar, and therefore she never really relies on the fact that she's going to get that dinar. You know, when and how is she going to collect that dinar? And therefore she never received the entire mana. She only received 99% of it. Is that not enough for Kedusha? The Kesef Kedusha was a full mana. Umar Sov the Yesh Omrim that say she is Mekudesh, they maintain Lo Ksifale Milsul Mitveh. She's not embarrassed to ask for that last dinar, and therefore she assumes that he will fork over that last dinar, and therefore she's Mekudesh. Oh, but now the Gemara is not happy. The Ella Hadi Omer Rabbi Lazar. We have a statement of Rabbi Lazar that if a man says to a woman, Iskachi Libimana, the Nasan La Dinar, out of the 100 dinar in the makeup of money, he gave her 1 dinar, 1%. It's Arayim Mekudesh for Yashlim. She is Mekudesh with that one single dinar. And here was the case in the Braisa, according to Huna, where he was Mekadesh with 100 dinar, he gave her 99 out of 100, and yet the first day on the Braisa maintains that she's not Mekudesh. Is Lema Kitanoi Omra L'Shmaite? Do we have to assume that Rabbi Elazar could only work out according to the Yesh Omer in the Braisa? And the Gemara says, Amri, no. Bimana chaser dinar ksifal ala milsa lemitve. When is it that according to one mandiyomer in the Braisa, that was the ratio of the first mandiyomer in the Braisa, she's not Mekudesh because she received 99 out of 100 and she's too embarrassed to ask for the last mana. So the last dinar to make up the 100 dinar in the mana is therefore she doesn't have smichus das that she'll ever get that last dinar. But bimana chaser tishim v'teisha, if he gave her 1 dinar out of 100 dinarim, lo ksifale milsa lemitve, she's not going to be embarrassed to demand his payment, fork over the other 99 dinarim, and therefore Rabbi Elazar claims that everybody would agree in that case that she's Mekudesh. Meisve, now we have a kash on Rav who says Mekadesh Mebilvein and Mekudesh. Oh man, we have a brice on Melishas Kachi Libe Pikonon She Yesh Libi Odeich. On, let's say yesterday he gave her a pikonon, and now he goes ahead and today and he wants him to kind of show without pikonon. Oh, holcha, she goes and she looks for the pikonon. It's also she didn't have it, but she discovers it was stolen, it was lost. Im nishtayre menu shava pruta, what's left? You know, let's say the ganav took most of it, but he left a little piece, and that piece is worth a shava pruta mekudeshes. But v'im lav ain't a mekudeshes. Fine. Im lav ain't a mekudeshes is understood very well, because there's nothing left here. I mean, it can't be Mekadesh with a pikon that doesn't exist, and whatever's left in existence is worth less than a pruta. Oh. That part of the price is fine. But then the price continues. Bimilveh, let's say he gave her a milveh, and now he wants to Mekadesh with the money that he gave her yesterday as a milva, and now she goes ahead and she checks and she finds out it was stolen or was lost. Is aval pisha lonish tari menashava pruta, even if there's nothing left, is mekudeshes. Why? Because he's being mochel her and he's saying to her, you know what, you don't have to pay me back the milva, I'm giving it to you as kedushin. That's the first opinion. The Tanakama's opinion is brisa. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, oh, maybe Shimon ben Meir, and now we're going to turn to Mem Zainam and Beis. Is Milveh Harei he can be Kanon? What we say now is, according to Rabbi Meir, that a Milveh has the same status as a Pikanon, and it all depends upon whether or not she finds a Shavu Pruta left after this Gnev. So Gemara says, I can't lo pligi Ella Demar Sovar Milveh Afal Pidinol Nishtari Menu Shavu Pruta. She's Mekudesh, even though there's nothing left. Umar, but Reb Shimon ben Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Meir, holds that Nishtari Menu Shava Pruta is the Ilo Nishtari Menu Pruta Shava Pruta Lo. You have to have something left that's worth a Pruta. Aval Kuli Alma, the Kuli Alma, Mekadesh Bemilva Mekudeshes. Nobody argues fundamentally on the principle of Mekadesh Bemilva. which means that if there's something left to this milveh, call it a shava pruta, she's definitely mekudesh lekuli alma, even according to Rabbi Meir. The only machlokus is let's say the milveh is completely gone, but he can be mekadesh with the milveh. It's not this price is completely against Rav. Amar Rava says v'tizbra mitaritz da'ah mishabashta he. This is a classical structure in the Talmud that sometimes I can prove to you that the brisa needs fixing. You know, it's unreliable as is. That's called the mishabeshta. And therefore, from a brisa mishabeshta, we don't ask kashas. That cannot serve as a support text to any sheet. Why is this brisa a mishubeshes? So that's what Rava analyzes now. He says, "Hai pikadon hechi dami." Right? In the ratio of the brisa, he gave her a pikadon. Now let's think about two possible scenarios regarding pikadon. Either kibul alei achrayus. Let's assume that's possibility number one, that she accepted responsibility that in event that it's lost or stolen, she will compensate the mafkid. Is then hainu milva. This is exactly the case of milva. Why? Because now that the pikadon was lost or stolen, she owes him the mafkid, the makadish, a chov. And with regard to a halva, the Tanakhama is of the opinion that a man can be Makadish and Isha with Mechilas Chov. And that applies even if Lo Nishtar Bimeneshova Pruta, that was the safe of this Braisa. So in the case of the Reisha of the Braisa, if the Pikadon was such that she accepted a Chrayus, then we're back to Milva. And the Tanakama's opinion in the Sefer is that in Milva she's Mekudeshes. And here, in the case of Pikadon, it says clearly, nobody seems to argue about it, that if there's nothing left, then she's not Mekudeshes. Why not? Let it be Mekadesh with the Mechila of the Chov that she owes him. The Ida lo kibul alei achrayus, if she never accepted upon herself any responsibility to compensate him if the Pikadon is lost. And if we're not dealing with a situation of Halva, Yahi Adetani Sefer. Why do you have to come up with a distinction in the Sefer b'milvah for pishon eshtari menishav prut mekudeshes? You want to come up with a case, a scenario in which he is mekudeshes? Don't stretch your arm out to milvah niflog v'lisni b'dida. Let's talk about pikadon and let's say the following: b'med v'amurim kishalo kibla le'achrayus. When do we say that she's not mekudeshes unless there's something left to the pikadon? That's a case of lo kibla le'achrayus. She didn't accept responsibility to pay him back, and therefore the only way that he can be mekadesh her, there's only one possibility, is with the pikadon is gone unless there's something left that's worth a shava prut of aval kibla le'achrayus. In a case where it becomes a milveh because as soon as it's lost she owes him compensation, is afagav de lo nishtari menu shava prut of mekudeshes, then there could be kedushin even if the entire pikadon was gone. Ephes, it's completely lost because now she owes him compensation, which is a chov, and he could be mochel on the chov. And at least according to the Tanakama, in mechilas chov, she is mekudesh. So you don't have to mention milva. Even within pikadon, you can make this distinction. That's called in the language of Shas lifnog velisni b'dida. Ella says Rava, you have to change the gears of the rice in order to make this rice a little bit more, you know, to maintain, shall we say, the integrity of the rice. So let's change the text of the rice and read the safe of the rice of the following: Upe milve afal pishin ishtairi menushava pruta eno mekudeshes. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, let's say the following: you cannot be Makadish and Ishu with a milva, period. That's it. And Afal Pishin Ishtari Menishav Pruta Eidam Akudeshis, even if something is left of this milva, it doesn't matter. You can't be Makadish and Ishu with Machilas milva. Rav Shimon Elazar, Mem Shimon Meir, milva rei pikipikadon. Just like in a pikadon, if there's something left, you can be Makadish with that Shavapruta that's left. So too in Alva, you can be Makadish with Alva as long as there's a Shavapruta left. And if that be the case, but my commiflly, what is the subject of this debate? Omar Rava, Rava says, Ashkechetinu l'rabbanim bebei Rav di Osvika Omar. I encountered the students that were sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they explained to me that b'milve b'shus b'ilim l'chazora v'hu adin li'onsim k'miflegi. The machlokas here revolves around an issue about a halva hakayemis b'shleimus b'shus shal alove. In other words, the money of the halva is there in the b'shus of the love. Is it considered that as long as the money is intact in the hands of the loaf, it's considered as if it's in the reshus of the malva? And number one, it means that the malva can decide, you know what, I changed my mind, had a change of heart, giving the money back. And another nafkamina would be if, let's say, this mos goes poof with an onus situation, there was no pshi on the part of the loaver, then the loaver doesn't have to pay. Why should we say no? The money is completely in the reshus of the lover. He owes a chov. The malva can't change his mind and get his money back. And so too, if the money is lost, poof, you know, a tornado came and took away the money. He'll have to pay it because it was his money. Demar the Tanakama Sovar milve birshus lova kaimer. That the very moment that the money is given over to the lover, it's considered his. The malva cannot rescind and take back his mos. And therefore, if the money gets lost, the lover will have to pay. And therefore, he would hold that he cannot be Mekadesh and Isha with a milva because that money is already hers, even if they're still intact, but it enters into a possession. And now, if he's Mekadesh with that money, he's not giving her anything. Umar, but Rav Shimon Allah's old, in the name of Rav Meir. Sovar Shemilv Bishus Bailim Kaimet still is considered to be the Malva's Mos. He can rescind and demand them back. I changed my mind, I don't want to lend them to you. Who I didn't own sim, and therefore the Lova is not going to be Chayiv and own sim if, let's say, these Mos go poof through a tornado. He hasn't yet used the Mos, it still belongs to the Malva. And if there's an owner situation, you can't be Tovar the Lova to pay because the Mos are not there. And therefore, at the time of Kiddushin, the Mekadesh is giving her Mos. That's the way the Talmid of the Beis Medrash explained to Rava what was going on in this Machlokas Tanoim Vamina Lehu. And Rava says that I responded to the Talmidim in the following way. Le'onsim, as far as onus is concerned, you know what? There is no machlokas, there's no issue. Kuli avalo plead the b'shus lova kaimi. The minute that the lova receives the mos, he's going to be chai for all onsim, even if he hasn't used the mos yet. My taima lo gara misha'ela. He's already considered like a shoel who borrows something and is allowed to use it, is chai v'n onsim. Ma she'ela dehajra b'ena chai b'n onsim. Just like she'ela, which if you know, you have to return the object itself, be'en, and if the object is lost, no matter what, a tornado comes and takes it away, or the animal that was taken by Shaila drops dead of old age, the shoel has to pay. Is there for milva lo kolshkein? How much more so milva? In the case of milva, the lova is not even required to return these very bones. At least in the case of Shaila, the be'en has to go back if it, so far as it still exists, to the mashiel. But here, in the case of milva, the lova has no responsibility to return these mos. Is then certainly it means that the lova is no less than a shoel, and he's chayv for onsim. And therefore, Rava would say the following: that you've got to sort of change a little bit the formulation. He's commenting on the talmidim of the nature of the machlokas. The formulation is thus: Elahacha milva b'shus bayim lechazara ika beinayhu. Again, as far as onsim is concerned, there was never a machlokas. The lova is going to have to pay in a case of onus. The machlokas is as far as the law of chazara is concerned. Meaning, does the malva have a right to say, "I changed my mind, I'm backtracking, I'm out of here"? According to Tanakama, from the moment of the halva, the mos are in the reshus of the lova, and the malva has no rights to rescind and decide that he doesn't want to allow this halva, he wants his money back. And therefore, according to the Tanakhama, there's no possibility of being Mekadesh and Isha with these mos, because again, the Malva has no right to get to these mos back. Forget it, it's history. As far as the Malva is concerned, he has no connection, no strings are attached from these mos to him, to the Malva. Therefore, Mekadesh ben Milvenim Kudeshes. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, if the Lova hasn't begun to use these mos, they still are Bishus Malva. Haraya, according to this Shita, he, the Malva, can be Choser and get his mos back. If that be the case, and if he gives it to her as Kesef Kedushin, then it's valid Kedushin. The Gemara now asks the following question on this din of Rav Huna. The Eloha, the Omar Rav Huna, Hashoil Kardum Mechaveru Ubikabo. If a person borrows a shovel from his friend and he uses it, he began to use it, no, it becomes his. And at that point, since the Sheol is clinched, the Mashiel has no right, has no ability to be Choserbo to say, no, I want it back. I'm out of here. I changed my mind. But lo bikabo, if the shoel has not yet used the object, is lo kno. In other words, a shoel has to be koneit in order to make it impossible for the mashil to be chosebo to take it back. Is lema ketanoi omer l'shmaite? Is Rav Huna's statement about shoel dependent upon this machlokas tanoim? Because according to Rav Huna, as it turns out, it's crystal clear that until the point at which the shoel used the object, the mashil has rights to get back his object. And that would reflect a sheet that we saw in Rav Shimon Loza in the name of a mayor who holds that milva, that in the case of Mos Halva, they still remain in the shus of the malva, and he can get it back until the lover used them. But if we go according to Tanakhama, who says that immediately when the lover receives the Mos, the Malva has no strings attached. He no longer has rights to be Choser Bo, even though the Lova hasn't touched the Mos yet. Is that contradicts and undermines the Shita of Rav Huna with regard to a Shoel? Zemar says, Lo, no. You don't have to say such a thing. The statement and the ruling of Rav Huna is not dependent upon a Machlokas Tanoim, but rather there's a distinction between the two. Ad kan lo pligi, when did the Tanoim have an argument? Elabim milve, that's a specific halacha in milve. The lo hadra bi'ena, the lova does not have to give these mos back. These, you know, the very bag of coins, he doesn't have to give back to the malva. He can give other mos. And therefore the Tanakhama assumes that immediately when the lova receives the mos, they enter into his rishus and the malva cannot be choser. But b'sheila, the hadra bi'ena, where the law of a shoel is that he's chayev to give back the be'et and return it to the mashiel, as long as he has it, of course, is the chayfetz doesn't really leave the reshus of the mashiel completely. Is Diri Akol, everybody accepts the principle of Rav Huna, that bikabo in, lo bikabo, lo kano. When is there a kinyan? When does the shoel clinch the kinyan in such a way the mashiel can no longer be choser bo? That's only after the bikabo, when the shoel begins to use it, that's when he makes a kinyan. The Gemara now wants to say that the law of Rav, the ruling of Rav, of Mekadesh Milva, is a machlokes tanoim in a different brisa. Namely, ketanoi, we had a brisa that says, the man says to women, is kadshi li v'shtar chov, he has a shtar chov. In other words, somebody borrowed money from him, and he has a shtar to collect that mos. And now he gives the shtar over to a woman. He says, you now own the shtar and you can collect the chov. Or others owe him most. And he writes the shtar ha-shah to collect them. And he gives that shtar ha-shah over to the Isha's Kedushim. Is Rabbi Meir omer mekudeshes, Chachom omerim eino mekudeshes. So let's go back to the first case. Hai shtar chov hechi dami. What's the case of a shtar chov? Ilem shtar chov da acherim. If we assume, as we assumed early, that hilva mos li adam acher because of lo halo shtar chov, my lova owes me money that I lent him, and now he gives me a shtar chov, and I give the shtar chov over to a woman for kiddushin, is hainu. That's exactly the second case mentioned in the Braisa. Hayelo milva bi'ad acherim v'hirsh aleya. Why did the Braisa have to tell me the same thing twice? Ela lav shtar chov dida. She herself borrowed money from me, or right from the Mekadesh, and she wrote a shtar chov to the Mekadesh, and now he wants to be Mekadesh Ho with this shtar chov, which means Mechilas HaChov, and that's going to be Lechora a Machalokas Tanoim of Mekadesh Bemilva. Mekadesh Bemilva called Miflegi. Basically, he's being Mochel Lechov by giving her back her shtar chov that she owes him money. And according to Rabbi Meir, Milva Lavlot Sarnitna, which means as long as she hasn't spent the mos, they're still in the Rishus and the Malva, and he can be Mekadesh her. According to Chachamim, Milva Lot Sarnitna. And the very moment he gives her the milvah, the mos are no longer in his rishus, and not the rishus the malvah. He can't be mekadesh with us. So it comes out that the law of Rav is dependent upon a machlokes tanoim, which is recorded right here in this brisa of Eshtar Chov. Rabbi Meir says she is mekudeshes, and that would seem to undermine the shita of Rav and maintain that milva lavlo tzonit. The Gemara says no proof from that brisa. Li'olam, I can tell you the brisa is a case of shtar chov d'acherim, where others owe the mekadesh money and they gave him a shtar, and he gives the shtar over to the isha. Hacha b'milva b'shtar v'milva alpeka miflegi. Now, what's the difference between the two cases of the brisa? You know, shtar chov and the case of Biyad Acherim, it's a question of whether it was a shtar or not a shtar, right? We have two categories of halfa. Sometimes the lova gives a shtar to the malva demands a shtar. Sometimes it's just the milva bal peh, just words. And the Braisa wants to point out that the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir about Kiddushin applies in both cases, whether it's a milva b'shtar or whether it's a milva bal peh. Both come under this machlokis. Now, if he has a milva biyad acherim and the lova gave the malva shtar, and now the malva is taking that shtar and giving it to the isha, that's case number one of shtar chov. If, on the other hand, the lova never gave a shtar over to the malva, and the malva now wants to give a harsha, which will allow the isha rights to collect that chov. And the Braisa says these are two cases, two different scenarios, and the Braisa feels it's necessary to tell us both. In the case where he's Mekadesh and Isha with a Chov, then Rav is correct, she's Eina Mekudeshes, but in these two cases, there might be a possibility of creating Kiddushin, and even Rav would agree to that possibility, which would of course be reflected in the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Oh, so now the Gemara explains the machlokes tanoim of Tanakam and Rabbi Meir in both scenarios. In scenario number one, is Mekadesh and Isha b'milv v'shtar b'maikam miflegi. What is the subject of the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Meir? B'plugta de Rebbe v'rabbonon kam miflegi. This is an old machlokes, Rebbe and the Rabbonon. The Sanya, we have a braisa. Osios niknos b'mesira divrei Rebbe. If I have a shtar, I can give that shtar over to you. In the very moment I give it over from hand to hand and you receive the shtar, you own the shtar. There's no need to create any additional kinyan on the shtar. Just the mesiras hashtar, meaning the shtar is viewed as gufo mamon. And it's a hefta shel mamon, it has its own value, and I just give it over like any metaltlin, miyad liyad, with mesira. Chachomim omrim, Bain shekosav v'lo mosar, bain shemosar v'lo kosav, lo kona achiyitov lo achiyitov v'yimsar. What does this mean? The Chachamim hold that you need not just a mesira. The mesiras hashtar miyad liyad is not enough to effectuate a kinyan on the shtar. You also need a ksiva. What does that mean? You need a ksiva. It means that you have to write a separate shtar in order to transfer ownership over the shtar. So you've got to give over to the makabel both the shtar chov and, in addition, another shtar, which is a shtar on this kinyan. Otherwise, the person who's getting the shtar is not kona the shtar. Because we don't view the shtar as gufo molin, as metaltalin, which are nicknamed the mesira. Oh. Now, how does this machlokis between Rebbe and the Chacham that osios niknos b'mesira or the unique ksiva mesira, how does that reflect on the machlokis that we're studying today between Reb Meir and Chachomim in Kiddushin? A man is mekadish a woman with a shtar chov. He gives her the shtar chov, but he didn't write an additional shtar. Is mar, meaning Reb Meir holds that she's mekudeshes, why islay, the Rebbe holds osios niknos b'mesira umar, but the Chachomim hold that you need not only mesira but ksiva mesira, is leslay, the Rebbe doesn't hold from Rebbe. He holds like the Chachomim that you need ksiva umesira, and therefore she doesn't make any kinyan on the shtar. That's possibility number one. For Ebois Ema, the Gemara offers now another possibility, an alternative approach to the machlokes, Rabbi Meir Chacham, the Kuliyama Lesley, the Rebbe, both of them agree that Ein Osios Niknos Elabik Siva Umasira. For Hacha B'Derav Popakam, if but rather the subject of the machlokes, Rabbi Meir Tanakama is Rav Papa. The Omar Rav Papa, Haiman de Zovin Shtar Lechavre. If a person wants to sell a shtar chov to others, Tzorch to Miflugay, he's got to write a ksiva to the kone, to the buyer, we'll call him. Knelech hu v'chol shibude. He's got to add this sentence to the shtar. And that is Knelecha Kol Shibude. The Mechira is not Chal unless he adds the words Knelecha Kol Shibude. Because otherwise, the Mocher could say, you know what? I never had intention to sell you this Chov. I sold you the paper. You know, in those days, especially a Shtar was written on vellum, on something, parchment that was worth something. But if he writes Kol Shibude, meaning any Shibu that I own in the Lova, then the Malva clearly has indicated that he's selling not just the paper, but the Chov itself that's written in the paper. Mar the Chachamim hold, and we're going back to the Machlokas about Kiddushin, is according to Tanakam Einam Akudeshes, why Islay the Rav Papa. And therefore, if he didn't write in the shtar that he gave her as kedushin, the chol shibuda, then she's not kona the shtar. She's not kona the chov. Umar, but Rabbi Meir Lesley the Rav Papa, he holds that a mocher shtar, even if he didn't write kol shibuda, has no right to say, "Well, I never meant it. I wasn't serious about it." And therefore, the kinyan to this isha on the shtar is complete and is clinched. Now the Gemara has a third possibility to explain the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is the Kuliyama Islahu Dirav Papa. Everybody accepts Rav Papa, and therefore he has to certainly write V'chol Shibuda in the Shtar in order to clinch the Mechirus HaShtar, Daknos HaShtar, V'halcha B'the Shmuel Kam Miflugi. They're arguing about a different din, the din of Shmuel, and here we turn to Daf Mem Chesam and Aleph. The Omar Shmuel holds Hamoker Shtar L'Chavero Chazan U'mecholo Machul V'afil Yoresh Mochel Umar Islay the Shmuel and Umar Lesley the Shmuel. So Bli Neder, in tomorrow's shiur, we'll discuss this issue of whether or not there's mechila on a shtar chov which was sold, and that's the issue of Shmuel and how this bears on the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Meir.